God, your Spirit is critical in our lives to protect, to lead, to teach truth. So God, I ask that you would give us the privilege and the honor of having your Spirit cause us to understand what it means to be all about Jesus. That's a really, really important one. Cause us to be wise, discerning people as we... There's a lot of children at stake and lives at stake and adults at stake and people at stake and this world's full of false truth. So we trust you to teach us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, chapter 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, that every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, I think that, especially in this day and age, the one thing and is the Antichrist and the spirit of the Antichrist is something. Talked about this a couple weeks ago. And the word Antichrist, John uses this word, but it is somebody that is assuming the posture or the guise or the look of Christ, the name of Christ even, but opposes Christ. So, we need to be really careful. Well, there's a couple things here. I think that we do not want to be the church of critics. We do not want to be the church that is always looking to judge and criticize. You know, the critical thing, the most important thing here is that we are to be loving towards people. We're not to fear false prophets. We are to love the lost. And there's a difference in how you posture. Fear is defensive. Okay? And fear causes us to withdraw and withdraw from people and push people away. Love is, I would call it, offensive, right? Not offending, but offensive. And that goes after. It causes us to move towards people. And that's how we're to be. We're to move towards people, not to fear people. There's a tenet of evangelicalism, of extreme conservatism that talks about this aspect of 2 degrees. Okay. I don't believe in it. From what little I know of it, I think it's a false reality, but a false understanding. But it talks about that if is wrong in their thinking, is wrong in their doctrine, is wrong that we from them. They're friends with somebody else is wrong. We push further away. I think necessarily, I don't think that's the right approach. Okay? Again, we're supposed to love. But I do believe it's really important we are discerning and even beyond that. In addition to that, put it this way, that we teach our children to be discerning. There's a difference between innocence and naivety, right? Our children, I would say, are not to be naive. Okay? But our children are to be innocent. So, and there is a difference there. And I would say on some level, we should never forget that we are called children, right? So in the same way, in our relationship to God and our Father, that we should not be naive, but we should be innocent. And I would say naivety is something that leaves us in danger. A naive child, whether it be us or whether it be our children, doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, right? He doesn't know the difference between truth and lies, right? And that puts us in grave danger, right? An innocent child is one who does know the difference. How do we know the difference between a false prophet and a real prophet? Okay. Again, I would posture that I think we're, you know, the principle that you're innocent until proven guilty is important here. Okay. If somebody claims to know Jesus, if somebody claims to have a relationship with Jesus, all right, let's go. Right. Now, are we supposed to be the cops of judgment? No, we're not to be. But we're also not to be naive. And we are to discern what is right and what's wrong, and that's very important. And it's important with individual contact with each other. Again, innocent until proven guilty. What's your life look like? What, you know, you say I believe in Jesus Christ. What is that? You know, most people in this country, a lot of people, actually it's changing quickly, but in my generation would have said they believe in Jesus Christ. But do they really believe, I mean, the tenets of Christianity, this book, everything, it's all about Jesus. Okay, finish. But what do we believe about Jesus? Do we believe that he is Lord? Do we believe that he is Master? Because we can say whatever we want with our mouth, but do we really believe that? Is that Jesus, we believe, you know, that a lot of cults, Mormonism being one, is that man, through his pursuit and effort, becomes God-like, right? Man becomes God. That's completely contrary to what the Bible says. The Bible says that God became man in the form of Jesus. Jesus is unique. Right? Be brother, in a sense, is completely unique in that he is God who became a man. Do I believe in that? Do I believe that he sat in a position? He was there at creation, right? And that he came and took on, he humbled himself and became a man, died for our sins, was resurrected, gave us God, that he is now sitting as King of Kings and Lord of Lords again, and will judge the earth and judge the entirety of the earth. Everyone will be accountable to him. And when he comes back, different. Right? He won't come as the humble servant in order to as a sacrificial lamb. How the look, you know, but the Bible describes it as on a giant horse with blood and a sword coming out of his mouth, and it's pretty scary and pretty terrifying. Do we fear him? You know, we have a statement within the men's group, and we, you know, I mean, how is Jesus you serve? You know, because that's really kind of what it boils down to, right? In all of us, we can all say, oh, what do you mean? Most of us give the name Jesus to somebody that we can be equal with us. But we can too, right? I mean, if a sticky situation, you know, I really want to do this. Oh, you say no. I know you say this is not right. I know you say I shouldn't, but you know what? You need to go for a walk. Is that the Jesus of the Bible? I'd say we don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible if we believe in that Jesus. Right? And that Antichrist means that he will be given the name of Christ. He will be in place of Christ. Precede Christ. So, what do false prophets teach? False prophets speak not the true and living God, of not the Jesus of the Bible. So, I think that it's very important that we are all discerning. You know, I think there's a statement that I think is really true, and that's that information is spiritual. Okay? I mean, that's a big statement, but information is spiritual. Okay? What we tend to think of God as truth, right? God is light. And truth is information, right? And information is something, is something that's tangible, something you can touch. No. Information is truth or lies that go, is there information about, you know, how, the instructions on how to put something together? Yes. Information is a spiritual thing that we need to be careful in discerning. We very easily these days take in things without discernment, right? I think it's doubly scary, right? Well, I read it on the internet. I mean, most of us found out, most of us, that's how we look things. I even find myself these days doing that, you know? You want to know the answer to something? Look at it, right? So we have actually given this unbelievable authority, you know, to the internet. I mean, it used to be, look it up in the encyclopedia, right? And if you were most households had this long stack of books, right, that were encyclopedias, right? Trusted people that put those together did a ton of research to make sure that what was written in there was true, correct? There's very, very, very little accountability on the internet, right? Whatever it is. And we need to be, whether it's the people we listen to, this is something that's important. You know, who do we get our information from? Where do we get our information? And when it comes to a lot of people, a lot of us listen to podcasts, right? Or to, I don't know what a podcast is, you know, but it's this voice that comes out of that world, coming off the computer or something, or off your phone. We listen to those things, or preaching or sermons on somewhere in the world, right? Are we careful with that? I'm not saying that we don't do that. I'm not saying that we remain naive, but are we careful with that? Where is this coming from? Who is this person? Who is this person teaching this? And I'm not necessarily saying, well, just look it up on the internet. Because that can be a little suspect. But is it important, the information that we take in? Right? How, because it is critical. We very easily become conditioned to believe things. I mean, it's unbelievable. People spending time on the internet believe some unbelievable things. And absolutely believe them, right? Conspiracy theorists, you know, that we, the United States, up the powers, man. We did it in order so we could go below. Right? That's a pretty insanely ridiculous postulate to stand on. People believe that. People believe it. Why? Because all this information on the internet that gives us this. It's unbelievable how much information, and it's important to realize that information is, and look who's Jeremy. The sickness and all, get out of here. No. Does the enemy have the ability to put out information? Yeah. You know, and in this day and age, we're in a very, very dangerous age, right? Because we believe that something new and something progressive, and because things are changing so fast, that's what's happening, right? I mean, we're kind of stupid. We believe in this old book right here. Really old book, right? It was written a long time ago. That has rules and regulations, has laws in it. We believe in those laws. I mean, shouldn't we be a lot more progressive than this? I mean, come on. There's got to be something new, because we're all new. Nope. We believe in this book right here, okay? There's a study done, one I would put a lot of stock in doing it, that the greatest reason for rejection, and it doesn't, this is mainly done people 40 kids, and that put a lot of you in here, kids, right, under 40. But the greatest reason for the coming against and dis Christianity, and an unwillingness to accept Christianity, the greatest reason, doesn't matter what social status you're in, what color you are, it doesn't matter, that the greatest universal reason for it, for rejection of Christianity these days, is intolerance. Because Christians are intolerant, right? I mean, there's a side of that that, is there any, I mean, that is a great word, right? Intolerant, right? We're not, I mean, it's amazing how down speech is setting down free speech. You cannot even, you don't even dare express your opinion because you will be labeled a bigot. You'll be labeled a, you know, if, and yet, are we, is there a side of us, that is intolerant? Yeah. Do I believe that there is right and there is wrong? I do. I believe that there is things that are okay and things that are not okay. Do I believe in absolutes? I do. I'm intolerant. Okay? The Bible is intolerant. There is sin. Right? So we're in trouble when the primary reason in our culture is, in the thinking of our culture is that intolerance is narrow-minded, bigotry, racism, lack of intelligence, narrow-mindedness, right? Uneducated, right? I mean, our intelligence these days, who schooling, if you've been to college, you've sat under the intelligentsia these days that preaches the greatest evil is intelligence. Because intelligentsia does, right? It's relative. You know, right and wrong is subjective, right? Doing it. So, so we've got a whole generation that has been, we said, The education has been intolerance is the greatest thing. And in fact, it's pretty big. My daughter and I were having a discussion on what that looks like. I love my daughter and I'm going to miss her dearly. She's one of my favorite people to discuss truth because she doesn't necessarily get emotionally. She knows I love her, you know, and she doesn't take it personally. You're attacking me. Oh, I am pretty wound up here. You know, but she knows I'm not her, you know, doing it that we're talking and debating about this. And I would contend, and she's been in this transition the last 2 years of, I grew up in small town, Idaho, you know, and I grew up in rich town, Idaho, and I grew up in this town, Idaho. And now that I've moved into a much bigger world, And you know, have to excuse me, just because there's no mountains around, it's all flat there, it doesn't really mean it's the world, but there's a lot of people and a lot of thought and a lot of thinking doing it. And you know, pardon me, she probably won't like this, but it's she has picked up, you can't help but pick up on some level that as a white person, I'm inherently racist. Right? I mean, that's just the way it is. There I might not know. I might not understand it. I might not really be consciously aware of it. But there's a systemic racism that I can't help but have. And I need to feel bad about it. And I need to feel guilty about it. And I need to do something about it because I'm inherently racist. My statement is, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. You know? I don't care what color you are. You know? Good people are good people and bad people are... yeah. You know the word. You know the rest of it, right? Okay? So, and does that mean I'm perfect in that? I'm not perfect in that, you know? You know, there's people that I systematically oppose to because they look like somebody I really don't like or what, you know? I'm sure that there is the flesh in me has the propensity because a fleshly inherent thing that's always been part of the human race and plagued the human race, right? I'm better than you. Stems from pride, and I'm better than you because of this or because of that, and other reasons because of in or my region or what. We want to see racism is black and white thing, you know, but that would be ridiculous, you know. I mean, go to Africa where there aren't white people. Is there racism? It's called tribalism. That I'm from this tribe and you're from that tribe. Listening to Martin when he was here, there are certain tribes that are like, talk about stereotype. Those guys are always thieves. Those guys are always liars. Those guys are always this. Because they're from that tribe. That's the way they are. Racism is, it doesn't matter. It's universal, is a fleshly thing. Is a man created in the image of God, under the authority of God, in standing the truth of God, I realize that our dads were all the same. Turned black and I had the curse of sun burned out in the sun and yesterday because I was white skinned, you know, doing it. I mean, they were the same, right? And that's, so how are we to be discerning about what is a false prophet? That's a very important thing. Not because we're going to go, I don't trust anybody, but because it's important what information we take in. The devil's greatest tool is how to lie to us and how to teach us lies is disguise it with 90% truth. Right? Are there a lot of people that are preaching supposedly out of this in the name of God, under the guise of Christianity, that are lies, that are telling lies, that are preaching lies? Is it in with people? Should we do the 2% thing and, you know, twice removed and hold ourselves distinct from people? Or should we love on people? And should we engage? One of the greatest tragedies to me right now in our education system is why I have some pretty harsh feelings about modern college level stuff, right? Because it has become very, in the name of tolerance, incredibly intolerant of any thought that is, and we're not talking. We're talking this high school. We're even talking entry. Okay? And it's become incredibly intolerant of any diversity. Right? That if I believe there's absolutes and you don't, okay, let's talk about this, right? That's usually what college campus was about, right? Oh, you think I think this way? You come from over there. I come from here. You come from Arkansas. You come from Washington. You come from California. You come from Maine. Let's all get together and go, okay, what's this look like? What is your thinking? How do we do this? That's not the way. The diversity of thought is something that is seen as intolerance, right? Because I believe there's absolutes and there is right and wrong. So therefore, I'm incredibly intolerant. We've lost. There are certain things you can't even speak of, right? Because you'll be a tolerant person. It's really important for us in the process to love people. Okay, so understand that. My motivation is to be offensive. On the offense. Okay, to aggressively love those people around the world. We're not to hold ourselves distinct, but we're to engage in that conversation. We're to engage in what you, and not just so I can tell them what I think. That's as big of a bad problem. Okay, is what can I learn? What can I learn from you that I don't know? How can you help me? Okay? When it comes to the things of God, the amazing thing is, we have this. And this is like no other book on the face of the earth. We have this. Truth, distinction of truth. How do we know a prophet, a true prophet of God from a false prophet of God? Right here. Right here. Okay? Do we know this? Do we spend time here? If we think we're, understand this. The greatest danger, the position you would put you in greatest danger of believing a false prophet, of believing untruth, the greatest attribute that would lead to that, I believe, is pride. Okay? Pride, arrogance, and pride is what leaves us open to lies. Arrogance, you might say, or pride is demonic. Right? What is the greatest of understanding truth and being aware of truth and being able to discern truth? Humility. Okay? Humility is the source where I can be, I am a child of the true and living God. Right? Not smarter than my dad. Right? And I need to know what my dad says to understand. It's right here. You know what keeps us from reading this and discerning this and wanting to know the truth about it? Pride. You know, pushes us towards understanding and reading this and wanting to know the heart of our Father through this? Humility. Okay? And we guys pride a lot these days. In fact, we've called it, you know, self-esteem, right? We've rebadged it because pride, nobody wants pride. You're proud. Well, nobody thinks that's really cool, right? But you have great self-esteem, you know? You have a great sense of yourself doing that. The self-esteem is what God calls us to have, right? In humility goes, God, I want to know. God, I want to understand. God, I want to see truth. I want to know truth. I want discerning of truth. I need your help. I am dependent because discernment, spiritual discernment is dependent on what? The Spirit of God. Spiritual discernment is dependent on the Spirit of God to reveal truth to us. And pride, being is dependent on what? To lead you. The demonic. Right? We tend to think of the demonic as, you know, that, you know, head spinning around her head, or, you know, the exorcist, or some extreme form of, ooh, no, no. My statement, information is spiritual. I would challenge you. In itself is a dangerous thing. Not a cool thing. Do we worship God? If we worship Him, do we worship Him in spirit and in truth, or we don't worship Him? True. Does that mean that we need to be spiritual on a level? Yeah, absolutely. I grew up in conservative evangelicalism, which I would contend to be intellectual, but incredibly unspiritual. I mean, it's always, since I was a little boy, it was always very hard for me to understand why we were the most biblically literate up until your generation, because we failed you. But how we were the most biblically literate nation on the face of the earth, and yet we were the least spiritual people. Right? But there's something wrong with that. There's something really wrong with that. So that means that we don't believe in this Jesus. That means that we, relationship with God that we were speaking of, we were just self-righteous, prideful, religious people. Intolerant, right? And therefore despised by creation. Don't blame you. Don't blame you that we were hypocritical. You know, I mean, it was inevitable. You know, we spoke one thing. We spoke about love. We spoke about truth. You know, I mean, if we went to church growing up, we all saw the scene, man. Mom and Dad were pissed off, fighting all the way to church, angry. Didn't have a very good relationship walking in church. Hi! so good to see you. I'm not very good at putting on a smile, so I know it's disgusting. It is disgusting, though, okay? We walk in, everything's good, everything's fine, doing it. And the kids are going, mm-mm, it's not what I want. It's not where I want to be. It's not the person I want to be. I don't want to have an impotence. If the truth of the cross, my mom and dad's relationship and their marriage, in the process of being, then the truth must not be real. And we threw the baby out with the bathwater and did it because there was some. See, then we threw the baby. This Jesus they worshipped to change their lives. This Jesus they worship wasn't really what they trust, who they trusted in. They just rubbed the genie, rubbed the lamp or something when they needed something really bad. But the rest of the time we're good, man, right? I just got Jesus in case I really get in a fix, right? But it wasn't really their life. That means they didn't believe in the Jesus Christ of this Bible. That means they didn't believe that he is King of King and Lord of Lords and is absolute. That's why he says that if you love him, if you have a relationship with him, if you really believe in the Jesus Christ of this Bible, you'll keep his commandments. Why? Because he's king. Because he's Lord. And if you believe that, you submit to it. If you don't believe that, then your life will look like doing what you want to do and keeping Jesus hide, right? Just put him on the wall, wear a cross, put a statue, whatever it might be, right? On it. Go to church sometimes. Add into your life. It's always amazing. Some of us have heard about this. We all grew up with hearing about this. You have this God-shaped hole in you, right? And you're really pretty complete except for the sweet spot, right? Only that is Jesus. Really. You know? I think it talks about dying to yourself. Not filling a little hole. Not adding something to your life. It's acknowledging him as King of King and Lord of Lords. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, he says. Right? That means we will want to know his commandments. That means we will want to know his thoughts. His commandments are not the demanding, lazy father who doesn't want to mow the lawn. He wants to sit in front of the TV and drink beer and tell his kids what to do and go do all the work. And don't do this and don't do that and act this way. This is a loving father, very in tune, wanting the best for our lives. That's why he gave us the law. That's why he gave us what's right and wrong. That's why he told us what matters to him, because he cares about us. Do not commit adultery. Why? Because it'll trash your life. Right? Honor your mother and father. Do not steal. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind. You have no other gods before him. Those are things he did because he loves us. He put parameters around us, and he wants us to know the complete life we can know in a relationship with him, that we can be redeemed, that we can be children of the King. And if we believe in him, this is a God that loves us, and this is why he's up. Not because he doesn't want us to have any fun. Not because he wants to ruin our lives, or he just wants to lord over our lives, but because he loves us, and he cares about us. So how do we discern the difference? I think there's a couple of things that are important. Number one, you know, what does the Bible say? You know, I went through a several month period of somebody I was trying to pour into in our lives, and it was the whole, I would say that one of the foundations of that belief system is that I believe what I believe, and I believe what I'm told, and I believe what my culture tells me, and I believe those people in authority over me tells me, and then I find things in the Bible that confirm this. We can all do that, right? You can pretty much go pull things out of the Bible and say, and validate what you believe, or validate what you like. That is incredibly dangerous thing to do. God doesn't change throughout the Bible. So if God says this is the way things look here, you know, then it's not going to look any different over here. It might baffle us a little. That's why I think that the Old Testament is a very, very important. I think that's why God preserved a great percentage of this book in the Old Testament, right? Because I would contend that, and I grew up this. I grew up with being a church of the New Testament, basically. We read the Old Testament. I knew the Old Testament. School, right, to teach you these, because that's what's entertaining, you know, David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale and things that are entertaining to us. But the truth is, we were people of the New Testament to a large degree. And why is that? How many of you ever read the Old Testament and went, we're troubled? I would hope everybody would raise their hand, because if you don't read the Old Testament, go, oh my. God, why did you have to do that? Now I don't understand, because that really, I got to knock one side of my box down a little bit, because you did it, right? And it doesn't make sense to me. The God of love said kill dogs, pig, horses, people, children, adults in this place doing it, and kill it all. Not very tolerant. It's not very kind. It's not very compassionate. It's not very caring. Yes, it is, because God is absolutely those things. That is the God that we serve. And he hasn't changed. And he hasn't softened. Okay? The Old Testament is very critical for us. I think the most thing is to blow our box up. Right? Because we tend to think of, in the new, we tend to be feeling that God is nice. Sins. God tolerant. God doesn't really pay that much attention. If he cared that much about sin, he'd have struck me dead a long time ago. So he obviously doesn't, right? Because he would have, because I deserve to be struck dead. So obviously God is okay with it, right? You look at church leaders, it happens all the time. Church leadership all the time. Look at me, God got a program going on. There's thousands of us here, so he must be alright with my adultery on the side. Guaranteed, justify it, right? God must be okay with it because he hasn't struck me dead. God's clear. Do not misinterpret suffering, patience, as my tolerance for your sin. God is not tolerant of sin. Tolerant of sin. But it's very critical to know the true and living God is how we is the best way to discern false prophets. Okay? Does it agree with the word? We need to know when we hear things. Oh, that sounds cute, or that sounds new, or that sounds, you know, does it agree with the word? Right? Is what they're teaching. And that goes for me. That goes for whoever you're listening to on the radio. That goes for anything that I say, you know. Greatly appreciate your question last week, you know, doing it. You know, wait a minute. You said that Jesus kind of fulfilled most of them. What does that mean, you know, doing it? Okay, let me explain what I really meant. Because in a sense, did I misstate? Yeah, if you interpret it that way. I think my issue was all the temple law was fulfilled in Jesus. Right? We don't need to do the temple law. Just only wash my hands. Yes, you know. Was there, you know, I can enter the Holy of Holies? It's a big deal, man, doing it. I mean, do I need to sacrifice for this and sacrifice for that and kill this sheep and kill that goat and do this? No. Those are fulfilled in Jesus. That we need to balance, not to balance, we need to evaluate and discern true prophets of God and false prophets of God. True teachers of God and false teachers. Right? True apostles, false apostles. True evangelists, false evangelists. Just because people go under the name Jesus, we need to see, is that Jesus the Jesus of the Bible? Right? And it's always a very dangerous thing. The most current, the most important thing to me is, does that person live out what Jesus said? Or is it in the process of being perfectly what Jesus said? No. Well, We're all way too humble to say yes about that, right? You know, we, but none of us do. None of us feel like we do completely. But submissive to it. You know, the difference is if you said, David, you know, how about that? You know, God said, don't wear a blue shirt, you know. Okay. You know, I take my blue, if that's what God said, you know, am I willing to be submissive to it? You need to correct, to discern people's lives, people's hearts, our hearts. And again, I think the most important, the pride is so dangerous is because from evaluating properly my life. Right? And the greatest motivator or the greatest inspiration for false and wrong judgment is hypocrisy. You know, that I don't see in the mirror clearly. Right? What keeps us from pride? That's not who I am. This is who I am. This is who I really am. Is this? I'm not really that. This is who I am. Really here. That pride is. There's nothing that blinds us more than pride. Okay. So we have no ability to be discerning of truth, to be discerning of false prophets or true prophets of God. We have no ability in that if we're not humble and we are not seeing clearly on doing it and in our lives doing it. If we're not willing to be under the authority ourselves to God. You know? Who are the greatest finger pointers? The religious people in Jesus' day. You're not this. You're not that. You didn't do this. You don't know God. You didn't know this. What is it today? Same thing. Right? Unfortunately, we have taken, the baby with the bathwater thing. We've gone to the other end of the extreme of saying, who are we to judge, right? Again, the most quoted Bible verse, do not judge. Right? In other words, be tolerant of doing that, right? Misquoting, you know. Read a couple more verses because context is everything. And what Jesus says, God doesn't change. A couple more verses from that, it says, do not give what is holy to dogs. And do not cast your pearls before swine. Well, now that's... You called somebody a dog. You discern them as a dog or a swine. And so you don't... So you're obedient. And don't give what is holy to them? That's what it says. That's the same Jesus that says, do not judge. He says, do not judge hypocritically. For the way that you judge, you will be judged doing it. It doesn't say, do not judge. But yet that's the most quoted Bible verse, and religious people stand on it. Right? Especially when it comes to me, right? You can't judge me. Who are you to judge me? You know, that's there, right? So, let's all just, there's no right and wrong, let's all just not judge, right? It's all subjective. We'll just all get along. Tolerance. There is absolute. Are we to love? Again, I am to aggressively, I'm not to fear false doctrine. I have a great discerner of truth right here. I'm not to fear false doctrine. I'm not to fear or deceived in false doctrine. I'm not to fear discussion with him. I'm not to fear that. I'm aggressively supposed to love them. Lead truth. Say that false prophets, when he's talking about false prophets, he's not talking to somebody who's sincerely deceived. Who is willing, who that's not necessarily true. And who is consciously not aware that they're deceived. It's not somebody who's trying. All of us, right? Let me just tell you, scary, dangerous, please don't get up and walk out. It's going to do it. There are things that I believe that aren't necessarily in complete alignment with this. On purpose? No. Acceptable? No. Do I know any of those? No. Will I be shown those? Yep. It's called the process of maturity. Do I know everything about God? No. Amazing, huh? I don't. I do not know all there is to know about God. And that means that some of my understandings of God are not complete, right? Potentially this way or that way. Is it my absolute responsibility to try to balance anything that comes out of my mouth, particularly in this context with what this says? Absolutely, it's my responsibility. And it's your responsibility to see if it lines up. You know? I didn't say everybody leave their Bibles at home. Don't read your Bibles. Just come and I'll tell you what it says. Okay? This is the church which says, no, go home and read 1 John. What does it say? And read 1 John in context. And read the book of John, the gospel of John, see where he was coming from. And read the other gospels and see his relationship to Jesus and who he was right there. And read the Old Testament and see how it lines up with God they were serving and who was the father of Jesus. Right? So that when you say, David, help me understand this more clearly, because it doesn't seem like this works. So, that's important. The next thing that's important is the Jesus test, right? Isn't that what he says? Every spirit that confesses Christ has come in the flesh is from God. I spoke to a Mormon who doesn't say that. Right? I mean, so how do we discern the difference? You know? A Jehovah's Witness say that. You know, how do we discern the difference? Because the name Jesus is easily brandished around amongst a lot of people who aren't under the authority of the Jesus of this Bible. So, and again, what you say with your mouth only carries so much weight. Go back again. Innocent until proven guilty, okay? Said it with your mouth. Good, man. Good. I hope we have a good relationship. You have to excuse me. I might not call you brother yet, you know. But, you know, hopefully they'll call you brother or sister on the process doing it. Where this is confirmed. Why? Because I'm a big skeptic. Part of those of you who know me know that that's partly the way God made me, right? The way that I work is if something's right, well, that's the way it's supposed to be, right? I mean, it's this way. I'm a craftsman at heart, okay? At one point was capable, huh? As a craftsman doing that. My process in striving for doing it better, it wasn't a matter of this. Doing this? My process is, I didn't do this part right. Could have been done better. Next time it will be. I won't make that mistake again on doing it. That's who I am as a person. That's who God made me as a person on it. So I tend to be that way. So don't get your feelings hurt sometimes. You say, you're doing so good. Okay? Well, no kidding. That's what you're supposed to be doing. Okay? I might say, but your zipper's unzipped. You know? Or something. All right? Just by nature, I am. That's really important that we're a body. Right? And there's many parts and there's hands and feet. And we get to have the encouragers. Right? We get to have those who say, you look so nice today. And mean it. Okay? And mean it. I might forget that I have a problem saying it. But we need that balance. All of us were hands. We'd be in trouble. We'd be in trouble. Right? And he says he gives different gifts to different people. We as a whole represent the body of Christ. So I encourage in a different way than some people do. Okay? Okay? That's by nature, and it's not necessarily wrong. I don't get to be wrong in that any more than you get to think you're doing God's work. Right? Flattery is not God's work. False flattery is your desire to be liked by the people you're saying something to. Right? It's called prideful selfishness. Right? False flattery is not right. But there needs to be both people, both the encouragers, both people that see, you know, the cup half full or half empty, right? They're both true, right? And they're both honest evaluation. I only got half a cup of water. We got a whole day to go. I better put some more in it, okay? Because I only got half a cup. right? Somebody, I got half a cup of water, I'm good. That's all I need, man, doing it, okay? You'd be on the side of it as a body. So we are, what's really important is Jesus that we serve, is the Jesus we talk about, the Jesus. Is he God? God Almighty come in the flesh. Come down. Is he God, the only hope of salvation? Is the only hope for our having a right relationship with God, for being the fulfillment of the wrath of God? Is he eternal? Has he always been? Was he sinless? Was what he said true and absolute and held then and now as much as it did then? You know, the people of the world will say, but wait a minute, I'm not sure. I think this Jesus you're talking about, we don't know if it was really the Jesus, you know? I mean, there's some things like the Bible that seem to be a little bit, you know, they're kind of contradict each other in doing it. And I'm not sure that this Jesus, well, you know what, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. I'm not saying be dumb. Blind and not speak truth. But do we believe in the... He says, I am the way, Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Do we believe that? Or was he just like, that was just a metaphor? He was just speaking extreme statement. Do we believe that? There is no hope of having a right... We are either... damned or eternally blessed by Jesus. Period. Jesus. Do we believe in Jesus? Or do we believe like God will let me slide on my ignorance, right? Well, I tried. I wanted to believe in Jesus, but, you know, I wasn't sure what Jesus to believe in. So some things that had me a little confused. God, can we have that discussion? No? Did we submit to the authority of the Jesus of this Bible, or didn't we? End of discussion on the deal. Did we honor him as God, or didn't we honor him as God? Is that the Jesus we serve? Is the Jesus we serve the one I can go, no, I mean, you know, it's kind of that little thing with a kid, you know? A kid that learns the proper relationship there. And, take the word. When his dad says, you need to go clean your room. A child who learned to pop, the father is going, no, I don't want to. You know why? Because he doesn't have a proper relationship with his father. He has no fear. And as a result, he's going to do the same thing to God, to the authority over him. No. Okay. Is that a recognition of who God is? When we can spit in his face, right? Is it a recognition of who God is when I can say, nah, I do say that, but you need to be a little tolerant and accept me doing it. Who is the Jesus we serve? Is it the Jesus of this Bible? Do we see what he calls us to? And by the way, we can say, well, the Old Testament is full of law. Okay? The New Testament, we're not in the law anymore, right? There's some truth to this, right? We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace now, right? But in the New Testament, I see Jesus inspired by the Spirit that inspired Jesus. The Son that inspired the man Jesus and gave him wisdom and gave him discernment and gave him power over sin. Gave him resurrection. That same Spirit can live in us now. Same Spirit, the fullness of the deity. Same Spirit that enabled and empowered Jesus. And that is really the third statement, does the Spirit of God empower you? Does the Spirit of God empower you? God inspire you, or are we able to deny who Jesus is? by our lives, by our actions. That, you know, that the are born again. If we are people, and I hope everyone in here is, and if you aren't, let's do this, you know, because it's a big deal, okay? But submitting to the authority of God, dying to ourselves, giving our life because of who Jesus is. The Spirit of God, we become new creatures, it says. What does it say here? You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak us from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who does not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If we are children of God, I mean, we are a different class of humans in this world. We're different people. We have become, our souls have been born again, have come alive from the dead. Okay? If I do not know the Spirit of God, death reigns in me. I'm a different person than a person who is born again. I mean, this is light and darkness. You know? The comment that I've heard brandished in my life of the only thing different between me and them, this is a humble statement, right? This is one of those humble statements. Kind of like I'm just a sinner statement, you know? Is the difference between me and is that I'm forgiven and they're not. Well, if that's the only difference, honey, we got issues. You know? God calls us to a different, obedience to Jesus. Does that look like, understand? Jesus, the thing Jesus said, don't do that, act this way, those weren't. And the one that the Spirit of God inspired Paul, or the Spirit of God inspired John, or the Spirit of God inspired whoever else might have been a writer, was he just saying, I think it'd be nice if you did this, or nice. You don't really have to, because you're under grace, you don't have to do this, so. The New Testament is full of this is what our life, what we're supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. Okay? But those aren't laws, those are suggestions. We have been given, is it rule, again, don't misunderstand me here, because I'm not saying that I, as a man, can be good enough to be a God-like person. That my works can gain me favor with God. Because that's not true. It's by His grace and His mercy that we are saved through faith. Through a belief in what is, through a belief that motivates me and moves me. Faith without works is dead. Right? Faith is based in substance and evidence. And it determines life. And that is what I'm saved by the grace of God. By the unmerited favor of God. I, of all people in this room, right? I mean, I served that little Jesus for a lot of my life. Right? I believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. About this big. Somewhere in here. You know? Because I could take him if I needed to. Right? If I wanted to do something and he didn't want me to. In fact, there was a time I just told him to go away. Because I don't want to hear from you right now. Deserving of death? Yeah. Deserving of death. It's only by grace, by God's mercy, that I've been saved. But when I'm born again, the Spirit of God comes in us, and the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead is now to be at work and alive in us, to resurrect me from the dead, to be in the redemptive process of holiness. It should, it has to, it will make a difference. If it doesn't, we need to talk. Because you might have some misunderstanding about saying the prayer or saying you believe in Jesus. If the resurrection power is not alive and well and working in my life, now my wife would be the first one to understand and agree and put her hand up and say, yeah, you need the resurrection power of Jesus in your life, David. You know? And I'm that he's patient, continues to work in your life doing it. She doesn't. I don't know if you've ever done that. Probably not. That wouldn't go well. But she would be the first one. She would be the first one to say, is that necessary to continue? Mm-hmm. Still got work to do. Mm-hmm. Still got, but is that, am I in that process? I better be. And it better be evident. Right? There better be change happening. One of the greatest evidences of somebody having a relationship with God is the trajectory of their life is like this. Okay? That it's changing. Holiness, the right relationship with God, right? Sinful man, lost, on the road to death. The process is like this, okay? A lot of people's lives, what do they look like in religion? Boo, oh yeah, I'm doing good. Boo, 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 boo. Okay? That isn't what the trajectory is supposed to look like, man. Put a datum line across there, whatever you smart people would call it, right? Is that right? Across there that gives you the perspective of the up and down curves, right? And the general flow of it. And it's flatlined. If your life's flatlined, we got issues. Because I love you, we got issues, okay? Because I care about you. It's not, oh yeah, see? We're praising Jesus today. Now we're telling little Jesus to go away. Now we're praising Jesus. Now we're telling little Jesus to go away doing that. Or our lives, is the datum line going up like this? Right? Will it always be like this? I wish. Right? Unfortunately, the process is, you need a spanking. You need to straighten this out in your life, or correct this in your life, and it's going, right? Any of us just go immediately, yeah, you're right! Get rid of this in my life, man! I'll never be like that again! Right? No, most of us go, I don't want to. In that process, we come out of it because the Spirit of God empowers us. So, how do we judge false prophets? Because this world is, there are more false prophets than true prophets. Under the name of Jesus, understand that. There are more false prophets than true prophets. Our best, right? To imitate Jesus in a way that keeps us from really knowing the true and living God and having the power of the resurrection at work in our life, because his desire is doesn't care too much about this world. He might even be nice to you and, quote, bless you, right, in this life. His issue is to keep us from becoming alive, to be born again, to remain dead in our trespasses and sin. That's his purpose, is the enemy. And one of the best ways to do that is through religion. Right? One way to do that is by, you know, Karl Marx was an evil man and a tool of the enemy. But his statement that the masses is one I agree very much with. Okay? Religion, what does it mean, an opiate? What is an opiate? It makes you feel good in spite of the fact that things aren't good, right? Right? Makes you, gives you a false perception of what your life is really about and what the world's like. Kind of nice if you just had your leg blown off. Right? You know, kind of give you a false perception of what was happening at the time. You know, did God create it? We don't need to go there. But it is the opiate of the masses that it numbs you to your desperate need for God. And religion does that. Religion sticks a big pacifier in your mouth, gives you, you're going to die of starvation. But stick one in your mouth. As long as I do this and do that, and everybody around me is doing the same thing, going, oh, you're pretty good. Oh, am I pretty good? Yeah, you're pretty good too. Oh, yeah, we're all doing pretty good, aren't we? Religion is a wretched thing. That way, this world is full of more of that than it is of the Spirit of God. And as it says, those who are truly the children of God, what do you say to you? The world won't know you. Right? The world won't understand you. The world won't recognize you. And it also says, the world will hate you. Right? just like they did Cain and Abel. So they're going to hate you for your intolerance. Uh-huh. What does intolerance mean? Intolerance of the, are you aggressively, offensively loving people? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Will they hate you because you say, well, there's absolutes. God says this is right and this is wrong. God says that's the way he designed it and that's what. And yes, the book is very old, but it's still very true and very right. And there's no other book that holds the authority of this book. This is the book that we judge wrong by in this life. Right? Not by me, not by your pastor, not by your favorite radio preacher. Right? By this book. Doing it. Ascertain as much, love as much as you can. We hold ourselves distant, you know, from other people doing it. But be careful. Information is used by the enemy as much as it's used by the Spirit of God. Right? Because it's the internet doesn't mean it's truth. You guys understand that, right? Not new information. We all make fun of that and laugh about it, right? And yet, I don't know. We believe it somewhat on Facebook sometimes, right? Oh, did you see what they did? You see what that person is. And I would also say this. Be careful in the process of interaction with people. What is very important is what matters is what's the state of your soul now, right? Both ways. Because you will have those in pursuit who were truly disciples of Jesus. And they kind of went off in a wrong direction. Right? What is the state of their soul now? What do they really... And we are to learn people by where's the state of your soul now? Truly, what do you believe now? Not what you believed 10 years ago. I am very grateful and very hopeful and I would encourage all of you, I'm not the same David. Okay? You will hear things about David. Probably. I've been 30 years. First part of that wasn't so good. You'll hear things about David and you go, I mean, there's a lot of people go, are you kidding me? David's preaching and doing that? I hope that you and everyone else, and we are to do this to other people. Where are you now? Because the truth is that, you know, we are in this, all in this process. Whether you're a teacher, you know, a radio evangelist or a preacher on whatever, internet, TV, you know, at one point he might have been deceived in what he believed. What does he believe now? And it's important to discern that. It's important not to write him off because of what he did believe. Important not to accept him because of what he did believe. Okay? What does he believe now? And if I'm listening to him, it's because it's really important. Because he's given you information which has the potential to influence you greatly in a spiritual way. Isn't what, you know, we're somewhat careful, I would hope, as parents. What do your kids listen to, right? What information do they listen to? You raise a generation with believing in evolution, and what is absolute truth to that generation? Evolution, right? What discerning is a church? I don't think we're discerning as a church. You know, it was fine. I mean, we all had monkey in my lifetime. I know they revised this because we've gotten much more brilliant, right? But in my lifetime, every classroom had a monkey to man poster in it. Right? Insanity in a full lie. You teach them long enough, you hear it long enough, you believe it. That's truth. So we are to be careful what we listen to. We are to be discerning in what we listen to. And I would just leave this at this. Because one of the most important ones, I think. Right? I don't think there's too many things that are as powerful as music. And it's not okay just because it's so parcel loud you can't understand the words. Your brain's amazing, okay? what goes into your brain. And the dangerous part about music, like for me, metal is not dangerous, right? Why? Because there's an immediate, I hate this. This cannot be right. This is not right. There's something really wrong about this, right? It does not process into my brain, no matter what the words are saying. Romantic country love songs? I gotta be careful what I listen to. Huh? Because what's it doing? The state of my soul is, I really like this. Right? This makes me feel good. This moves me in a really positive way. It's kind to me. So what's that mean? It goes into the brain, categorizes. Good. Even though it's a lie. Same with our children. You know, oh, it's just some little comics on TV playing a Netflix thing. So innocent, right? I don't know what they are. Because they make me mad, most of them. When I watch the kids watching them. What are they saying? What are they teaching your children? That's important, right? So it's not just children. It's us too. We need to be careful what goes in. Are we to be afraid and function from fear? No. No, we're to function from love because perfect love casts out fear. That's truth. And that's the way it is, that I am supposed to care about you and care about the people in this world. And care about people and pour into them. And we don't have to worry about if we're functioning with the discernment and the power of the Spirit of God and functioning in love, you don't have to worry about being rejected. Because you will be. Okay? Because the enemy does not want light and darkness to mix. I'm doing that. So, let's pray. God, we need help. You are a perfect Father who is perfect light and perfect truth. Jesus, we need help in honoring you, in worshiping you. I know I've struggled in my life with demeaning you to some substandard of what God is because you became a human, suffered in this world and acted like a human from a suffering and hurt and pain and conflict, and that is not who you are. I ask you to please cause all of us to be challenged, to not be apathetic, to not be apathetic with the information that we take in, not be apathetic with what we discern as truth, but to always be critical and discerning, not of people, but of truth. We're to love people. We're to be critical of right and wrong. So God, I ask you, cause us to be challenged by that. It's not relative. We're not progressive to say there's something more than this book. There's something more than the truth that you've given us. We're not progressive. We're regressive. We're just fleshly humans that are heading down a wrong road. I ask you, God, please to cause us to stand on the fact that we live by this old book with old statements and old truths as absolute and absolute relevant and as progressive as it gets in the real world. Cause us to stand boldly and not be afraid of this world that will shout us down as intolerant. Cause us not to compromise because it seems so old-fashioned, or it seems so archaic, or it seems so not with the times. You are a God that is perfect and perfectly present now as you were perfectly present in the garden. Cause us to know that that is as relevant and as new and as powerful as it's ever been. I thank you, Jesus, for giving us the ability to be loved, not by our merit, but by your character and your nature, by the love of God that loves us in spite while we were yet sinners, that you came and died. Amen.